I want to continue with our Why series tonight. And this is a topic that not everybody is going to agree on. You may really disagree with what I'm about to share with you. But I want to share with you from the Bible why we believe what we believe. And that's really what this whole series is about. We shared with you why are we Baptists. We shared with you why do we live a life separated from the world. And I'm hoping that through this series it can be a very practical, maybe eye-opening series. Maybe some of the things that you haven't really thought about but really apply into the everyday life, maybe it would be something that would be helpful for you. Now, I've got a lot of Bible verses I'm going to give you tonight. I'll give you a handout. Let me share with you just a couple thoughts, and I'm going to share a testimony from a man, and then I'm going to give you a lot of Bible verses very quickly. So I don't have one right at the very beginning tonight. We'll get to the Bible verses here in just a couple minutes, but let me just share a couple things with you about alcohol. I'm not an expert on alcohol. My dad is the expert on alcohol because he studied it. He spent many, many years studying the effects of alcohol on the brain and things like that. I can say this, and God has just been so gracious in that I've never tasted alcohol. I don't know the effects personally, but I've seen the effects. I've counseled with people. I've heard their stories. I heard their testimonies. We had a family leave our church because I preached against alcohol one time. The man came to me as a man that I love very much. And he told me, listen, he said, can you just not preach about alcohol? And I said, no, it's in the Bible. It's something I've got to preach about. And I said, even if it wasn't in the Bible, just look at the results. Look at the broken homes. Look at the people that die because of it. And he said this, you know you're right. He said, if I was king, I'd make alcohol illegal. But it's not going away, so don't preach about it so much. They eventually left our church over that. I've seen other families in other churches who have left the church over this topic. But I want to preach it to you because if you can see from the Bible why, it's going to make a difference to you. If it's not just my opinion, if it's not just somebody's opinion, if it's not just we're Baptists, so we don't drink and we don't dance, right? It's got to be more than that. There's got to be a better reason than that. And I want you to see it from the Bible. You know, beer commercials focus on life, but alcohol causes much death. These are some older statistics, but I'm going to read them to you. 15,183 alcohol liver disease deaths happen every year. 15,000 people die of alcohol just because their liver fails every year. There are 24,518 alcohol-induced deaths every year. That's going to be an average, of course. And that excludes accidents and homicides. Almost 25,000 alcohol-related deaths every year. On average, one person died every 48 minutes in a recent year due to an alcohol-impaired driver. 30 every day, people dying because somebody else was drinking. That's 10,950 people dying from an alcohol-impaired driver every year. And that's an older statistic. It's probably 8 years old. Over 1,000 people die from alcohol overdoses each year. Many of those are young people who drank fast to show off for their friends. An overdose of alcohol. I want to read this testimony of a man named Mel Trotter to you. And then I'm going to get to the scriptures that I've given you. This is his testimony. He said, I went out into the world and learned the barber trade. And at the age of 16, I was drawing a man's salary. That's a bad thing for a boy. I was able to indulge in many things that did me harm. I kept on drinking, and the first thing I knew, I couldn't stop. I couldn't help it. I tried to break away and get into the country. A man named Cook gave me a splendid big black horse, one of the best horses I ever drove, and I got a buggy and a job in the country. So as you can tell, this is 100 years ago or more, all right? I moved out into the country and made a lot of money. My wife would go with me to keep me sober. And I'd stay sober a while and how I wanted to stay sober. And I'd say, I'll never take another drink as long as I live. One night, I went to put my horse in a barn after a long drive and took my wife to the house. It was snowing and one of the coldest days in Iowa. All of a sudden, the devil seemed to get hold of me. I had driven my horse nearly as fast as he would go. But I started him out again and drove 11 miles and came back home with 11 big drinks inside me and 3 big quarts of whiskey in my buggy. And my wife was heartbroken. She looked into my face and she said, I didn't know where you'd gone, but if I could have walked through this awful storm, I would have come to look for you. I did not want to do that. I would have given my life if I could have stayed sober, but it wasn't in me. Another night I went on a drunk. He calls it on a drunk whenever he'll go out and drinking and getting drunk. And another night I went on a drunk after I'd been sober 11 weeks and 3 days with a suspended sentence hanging over me. I went out into the country and I was having a good time. And I drove up to a saloon, put my horse in the shed and said, there's the old horse out there in the buggy. I want to give everybody something to drink and just keep right on paying until the horse is drunk up. I was just simply imbecile. There was nothing else to it. And I tried my level best. I do not look like a man that goes down easy, but I just could not stop. I went on worse and worse, and finally I got back to the city again. And the drunks got oftener and oftener, and they'd get a little bit longer. I tried for 6 years to quit. There's no fun in that. Every time I would fall after promising my wife and my boy and myself that I'd never take it again. Then when I would fall, I'd be just that much lower in my own estimation. I'd hate myself. Finally, when I would get drunk, I would not go home. I got to staying away on a week's drunk, 3 or 4 days at first, and then gradually longer and longer. I'd commit burglary in order to satisfy the awful craving for drink. God gave us only one baby, and when the little fellow was 2 years and a month old, I went to our little home one day. It had almost ceased to be a home. I went home after a 10 days drunk and found him dead in his mother's arms. I'll never forget that day. I was simply a slave, and I knew it. It pretty nearly broke my heart. I said, I'm a murderer. I'm anything but a man, and I cannot stand it, and I won't stand it, and I will just end my life. But I did not have courage enough. I knew there was a God. I did not dare face him. I couldn't stand the thought of suicide. Mrs. Trotter was alone with the little body when she laid it down, dead. And she turned away to God and said, Father, I have had my thoughts on my baby more than on you, and I want to turn to you. You're all I have left. Mrs. Trotter had never been away from our baby 1 hour from the time he was born till the time he died in her arms. She had a drunken husband, and her only joy and hope was in her baby. And oh, how she cared for him. And she turned around from the dead child, and she said, Lord, I'm going to serve you to help others in trouble. I have my husband. And she began to pray for me. That's the thing that counts. When a wife gets hold of God without letting go, there's something going to happen. She led me into the little room and closed the door upon the three of us. And over the body of our dead baby lying in the little white casket, she made me promise that I'd not take another drop. I made the promise. Put my arms about her and told her I'd never touch liquor again as long as I lived. And the funeral was not over 2 hours before I staggered home so drunk I could not see. You know I could not help that. The devil had got hold of me. I went away from home, left my wife to get along as best she could, and I went clean down into the gutter. I went on down in sin until I was a hopeless, homeless drunkard. I was so far down that I had to reach up to touch bottom. And one night I made up my mind I could not stand it any longer. It looked as if there was no other way for me but to take my life in the lake. Just to pause here for just a moment, he lives in Chicago. If you've been in Chicago, you're going to maybe recognize some of the landmarks. It was wintertime, just to fill in some of the gaps. It's wintertime. Chicago in the winter is very, very, very cold. And he was just going to go down and throw himself into the lake and end his life. He continues, going down East Van Buren Street, I went past a place and I heard them singing inside. Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. I stopped just a little. And a man outside boosted me in. He said, come on in, fatty. Just the place for you. And I went in. Well, bless your hearts. It proved to be the old Pacific Garden Mission. That's the place in Chicago where an old bum is always welcome. And where they'll take just as good care of you as any place in all the world. I got a good seat and I heard them singing. I went to sleep during the preaching, but I woke up when the testimony started. And I heard the most marvelous stories I ever heard in my life. Why, men and women, I tell you that those boys in there had found a new joy. They'd been saved by the saving grace of God, and some of them a week, some of them 2 weeks, some of them 6 months, some 10 years. And they were just filled with the Spirit instead of filled with sin and wickedness. And Harry Monroe got up and told how Jesus had come into his life and saved him. He said, listen, fellows, God loves you. And he pointed his finger straight at me, and God was in the whole business. Mr. Monroe gave an invitation, and I was the first man to raise my hand for prayer. I gripped my old cap and started down the aisle and knocked over all the chairs in my way. Mr. Monroe got off the platform and helped me down front. We knelt down there and he told me to pray the publican's prayer. Well, I didn't know anything about it, but just what he told me to do, so I did. I heard the story that Jesus loved me and that if I confessed my sin, he was faithful and just to forgive my sin and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. The verse he stood on me on that night was, "Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." And all of a sudden, I remembered so many times. I had heard the story of the cross, how Jesus went all the way to Calvary. And I saw Jesus bearing his cross, men spitting at him and crowning him with thorns, all for my sin. I saw him starting up that awful steep hill with his cross and falling under it. I got a glimpse of my Lord that I've never lost for an instant from that moment until this. Well, I cleaned up that night. I just cleaned those dirty old things. I was talking about smoking as well. I just cleaned those dirty old things out of my pockets and started out right. I want to tell you right now, there's just one thing I've never seen. I never saw one man who'd been saved from drinking and kept his tobacco that did not go back again. If I had stuck to that thing, I do not believe I could have been here tonight, standing before you. But God gave me the Holy Spirit in place of it, and I do not want it. And I've been able to go out and tell my story of my salvation. The next day I went to work. My brother bought me a coat and put me to work at a barber shop. And I've never cost a man a dollar from that day to this. We had a compact little room. It was front parlor, back parlor, kitchen, pantry, bedroom, and automobile shed all rolled into one room. And that was the best place I'd ever been in, for Jesus was there. I set up the family altar with a little bit of a testament that cost 2.5 cents. And I started to read. I did not know much where to read, but I said I'll start at the beginning. Most books start there anyhow. So I started off in the first chapter of Matthew. And the names got me up a tree before I got through the second verse. I got over into the second chapter and began to read things. Then I would get down on my knees, and the best way I knew how, I would commit my way to the Lord. Did not have any better sense than just expect Him to lead me, and I'd just place my hand in His and ask Him to keep us. I've just gone on, trusting Him day by day, and made today count for God. I commit my way unto Him every day before I talk to men. We just start the day together. I do not know very much about it, but I know this, that I was a poor, old, helpless drunkard, and Jesus saved me, and He keeps me all the way. That's the testimony of Mel Trotter. It ends up good, but he's a miracle of the grace of God. What was the problem? The problem was alcohol. I'm going to give you 2 pages of reasons why we don't drink alcohol. You've got them in front of you, and I gave you the reasons with a blank in there. You can fill the blank as we go. I'll give you some Bible verses. You have the Bible verses in front of you. That's going to make it a little faster for us because we don't have a long time. But we're going to go through this kind of fast. Here's what I want. I want you to hear it tonight, and I want you to keep this paper because it's going to help you to be able to explain to yourself and maybe to explain to others as well what the Bible says about drinking alcohol. First of all, the Bible clearly teaches that it's wrong to drink alcohol. The Bible teaches that there's a difference between fruit juice, which it calls new wine, and alcoholic drinks. And hopefully this evening you'll understand that that's true. One of the biggest arguments that Christians give for drinking alcohol is, well, didn't Jesus drink wine? That's the biggest one that you'll ever hear, maybe the one that you're thinking right now. But I hope that by the time we're done this evening, you'll make a decision that alcohol is wrong from the Bible and that you'll make a decision not to drink it. So the Bible clearly teaches it's wrong to drink alcohol. Isaiah 65, verse 8, "Thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for blessing is in it, so will I do for my servants' sakes that I may not destroy them all." Talking about new wine. Where is the new wine found? In the cluster, because it's fresh. Proverbs 23, verse 31, the Bible says, "Look not thou upon the wine when it is red." A change happens at some point. "When it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright." Something changes between new wine and this wine that now is going to cause problems. "Look not upon it when it's red." A change happens. That's called fermentation. The Bible clearly teaches that it's wrong to drink alcohol. I'm going to move quickly through these points. Alcohol brings destruction to good homes. Alcohol brings destruction to good homes. I'll use Noah's home as an example. Genesis chapter 9, verse 20, "And Noah began to be an husbandman, and he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered within his tent. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his 2 brethren without. And Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward. They saw not their father's nakedness. And Noah awoke from his wine. It means he was drunk, but now he's woken up from that. And he knew what his younger son had done unto him. This is one example in the Bible of a family going through trouble because of somebody drinking alcohol. Noah got drunk in his tent. One of his sons came, and he got drunk in his tent and became naked in his tent. Just because he was out of his mind, he wasn't thinking straight. And one of his sons came in. The Bible said he saw the nakedness of his father. In the United States, I want you to think about homes here for just a moment. 50 to 60% of physical attacks in the home involve alcohol use. Domestic violence is huge, and it's huge because of alcohol use. Over half of the domestic violence cases in America involve alcohol. And we're finding out even now that you've seen so many police officers who have been shot in the line of duty. Do you know when those police officers are being shot for the most part? In response to domestic violence calls. Alcohol is causing problems for families, but it's also causing so many more problems. I'm going to give you a whole lot more tonight. Alcohol harms your ability to know right from wrong. Alcohol harms your ability to know right from wrong. Leviticus chapter 10, you've got that there in your notes in front of you. And the Lord spake unto Aaron, saying, do not drink wine nor strong drink, thou nor thy sons with thee, when ye go into the tabernacle of the congregation, lest ye die. It shall be a statute forever throughout your generations. Why? And that ye may put difference between holy and unholy, and between unclean and clean. It's important that the priest didn't drink alcohol, and there needed to be somebody that could tell the difference between holy and unholy, between unclean and clean. Alcohol affects the upper part of your brain where self-control and other learned behavior is stored. It's a drug that will take away your inhibition. If you have any self-control, drinking alcohol will remove that from you. Long-term excessive use of alcohol can cause permanent problems with memory, abstract thinking, problem-solving, and the ability to concentrate. Alcohol is going to harm your ability to know right from wrong. Alcohol causes, I'm going to give you three, I think there's one blank, mockery, deception, and violence. I probably don't have to prove that to you. I'm going to give you some numbers here in just a moment. You can probably just think of a news story that you heard, or some type of a story where then at the end of the story they say alcohol was involved in this situation, in this crash, in this disturbance. Alcohol causes mockery, deception, and violence. And we have it right from the Word of God, Proverbs chapter 20, verse 1. The Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Help me out here tonight. I'm going to move over here just so we can talk. What is the opposite of is not wise? Coming from the book of Proverbs, is not wise would be a fool. The exact opposite of wise would be fool. The exact opposite of wisdom would be foolishness. Alcohol causes mockery, deception, violence. Wine's a mocker. Have you ever seen somebody make fun of a drunk person? It's pretty funny. Mayberry. Who's the guy in Mayberry? Used to be in Mayberry, Sheriff? Andy Griffith, thank you. We've got an Andy Griffith video, and there's the town drunk. His name is Otis. How many of you remember Otis, right? So much of whenever he's involved, it's a mockery of Otis because he's drunk. If I had the time, I might have thrown the video up just so you could see the one video where he tries to get up, the cot is folded up into the wall. And he tries to lay down on the wall because that's where the cot is. And he keeps trying to lay down on the wall and falling down onto the floor. It's because alcohol makes a fool out of you. And people will mock you for it. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. There's your violence. And whosoever is deceived thereby. If you drink alcohol, for whatever reason you drink it, you are being deceived. All right, let's move on. Oh, wait, no. I wanted to give you this. 1,400 college students between the age of 18 and 24 die every year from alcohol-related unintentional injuries, including motor vehicle crashes. Think about this. College students, they're 18 to 24 years old. their future ahead of them, their life ahead of them, died because of alcohol-related injuries. 500,000 students between the ages of 18 and 24 are unintentionally injured under the influence of alcohol. 500,000 college students every year injured. Why? Because of alcohol. Alcohol-related incidents or accidents are the number one killer of teenagers. Did you catch that? The number one killer of teenagers are alcohol-related accidents. 1.4 million teens a year are injured in some way through an alcohol-related accident. If there wasn't any other reason for not drinking alcohol, that ought to be a good one. Our future is being destroyed. They're dying and they're being injured because of alcohol. Move on to the next one. Alcohol causes problems, confusion, pain, sorrow, sickness, and sin. Now, you could probably tell me the same thing just by looking around, but let me give it to you from the Bible. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 29. Who hath woe problems? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? Here's the answer. They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thine heart shall utter perverse things, things you would never think about, things you would never say. Alcohol will cause you to say them and think them. Verse 34, yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of a mast. You ever been seasick before? Raise your hand if you've been seasick before. I got seasick before. That's not fun being seasick. We were on a cruise, the cruise that you sent us on a few years back. And what? Oh, no, I was going to talk about the other people that were seasick, not us. Yeah, it was your fault we got seasick. No, so we were on this cruise. And so there was a great group of Christians on the cruise, but there was everybody else on the cruise as well. They had the bars open, and we didn't go to those parts, but you know, but they were there. The joke was the only people walking straight when the ship was doing this were the drunk people, because they were the ones naturally just kind of swaggering, stuttering, falling over all over the place. Problems, confusion, pain, sorrow, sickness, and sin. People do things because of alcohol in their system that they would never think of doing if they had not been drinking. Think about this. Alcohol-related birth defects are estimated to cost American taxpayers $321 million each year. That's just the financial cost. What about the other costs of the person who's dealing with the birth defect? It's not even their fault, but somebody was drinking whenever they were pregnant. In the United States, fetal alcohol syndrome is the third most common cause of mental retardation. What is that? Fetal alcohol syndrome, that is drinking when you're expecting a baby. The third most common cause of mental retardation. Older adolescents with fetal alcohol syndrome fare poorly in school, achieving math and word skill scores. Listen to this. We're talking about older adolescents, we're talking about older teenagers, they get scores on math and word skills at a second grade to fourth grade level. And it's not their fault. It's because somebody else was drinking alcohol. Children with fetal alcohol syndrome have an average IQ of less than 70. Alcohol causes problems, confusion, pain, sorrow, sickness, and sin. Alcohol becomes a terrible master that demands you to drink even more, even if you don't want to. You heard the testimony of Mel Trotter. You heard how he wanted to stop. He didn't want to keep drinking, but he drank and drank and drank until his baby died, and then he just decided he was just going to end it all. Aren't you glad God got a hold of his life? You know, Mel Trotter went on to be over one of the rescue missions in one of the big cities. God used him. Alcohol becomes a terrible master. Proverbs 23:35, they have stricken me, thou shalt say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. What a thought this is. I've been hit. I've been beat up. The idea here is, I don't remember it. I was drunk at the time. I was beat up. They came. All this bad stuff happened to me. I don't remember it. I've not been here, but I've seen it. I've seen the people that And I've read the news stories of people that do terrible things while they are drunk and not remembering what they did, but still having to pay the consequences for the crime that they committed. The sad part of this verse, at the very end, it says, yet I will seek it again, or I will seek it yet again. These bad things are happening in my life. I don't even remember happening. I don't remember driving the wrong direction and killing that whole family, but I'm going to seek alcohol again. I hope you understand this. Why don't we drink alcohol? Well, I think the Bible makes it very clear. But even if the Bible didn't make it very clear, it's dangerous. It'll ruin your life. It causes cravings, a strong need or an urge to drink. It causes loss of control. That's not being able to stop drinking once drinking has begun. It causes physical dependence. That'd be withdrawal symptoms such as nausea, shakiness, and anxiety. If you try to stop drinking it because your body becomes dependent on it, it causes tolerance. The need to drink greater amounts of alcohol to achieve the same effect. Why don't we drink alcohol? Well, the next one is alcohol causes you to have bad judgment and make destructive choices. I think you could have figured that one out. Alcohol causes you to have bad judgment and make destructive choices. But here's what the Bible says. Proverbs 31:4. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Alcohol causes you to have bad judgment. Make destructive choices. If the person who is in charge, if the judge is drunk, basically we're talking about the king would be the judge. If the judge is drunk, he's the one that we are depending on to make a wise choice and a just decision. But if the judge is drunk, how is he going to make a wise decision? And the Bible says here that he's going to make a perverse decision. They forget the law, they pervert the judgment of the afflicted. One day of heavy drinking can impair abstract thinking for up to 30 days. The average college student spends twice the amount on alcohol every year that they spend on books. In the year that this study was made, the average college student would spend $900 a year on alcohol and $450 a year on books. Now, whenever you look at averages, you've got some people that don't drink at all. Of course, you got some people that don't buy books. So I guess that still would kind of work out, wouldn't it, Brother Ian? Alcohol destroys your body and your mind. Proverbs 31:6, the Bible says, give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish. Somebody that's about to die. And wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. We're talking about a sedative here. If somebody's about to die anyway, give them alcohol so they can just go on to the happy hunting grounds and not hurt on the way. That's the idea here. Give them a poison for their system to let them go on without hurting. That gives strong drink unto him that's ready to perish. That's the person, because alcohol destroys your mind and it destroys your body. I'll come back to that in a moment. Alcohol makes strong men weak and causes them to give in to sinful desires. Isaiah chapter 5. This ought to be a huge warning to every man here tonight. Not just for men, but for women, but you'll have an idea here. Isaiah 5, the Bible says in verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. It would be a bad thing if you take away the righteousness from a righteous person. A righteous man will lose his righteousness because of the alcohol that he puts in his system. Alcohol will make a strong man weak. A man who could say no to temptation before, when he puts alcohol in his system, will become weak, and a righteous man will lose his righteousness. You know, alcohol and drug abuse cost the American economy an estimated, listen to this number, $276 billion per year in lost productivity, in health care expenses, in crime, in motor vehicle crashes, and other conditions. $276 billion a year that our economy does not get because of alcohol. Alcohol destroys your body, which is God's temple. Let me give you three verses that help you understand that. Job chapter 12, verse 25 is describing a drunk man. They grope in the dark without the light, and he maketh them to stagger like a drunken man. When you put alcohol in your system, it's going to destroy your body. Psalm 107, verse 27 is about people that they're sailors that'll get on ships and they'll go way out into the deep parts of the ocean. They reel to and fro, talking about these people on these ships. Kind of like the cruise that you sent us on. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. The point here is just saying that they stagger like a drunken man. Isaiah 19, 14, the Lord hath mingled a perverse spirit in the midst thereof. And they've caused Egypt to err in every work thereof. As a drunken man staggereth in his vomit. Besides disgusting, it's bad for you. I hope you're getting this tonight. Alcohol will destroy your body, which is God's temple. Binge drinking. What's binge drinking? It's just drinking a lot. Binge drinking is probably a better definition than that, but binge drinking can lead to permanent brain damage, coma, and then death. All right? Now listen to this. And that process takes place in less than an hour. Binge drinking. Just drinking as much as you can. Maybe at a party. College students are notorious for this. Going to a party and just drinking as much as I can. Drink till they pass out. Well, what's going on here? It can cause, as I shared with you just a moment, it can cause permanent brain damage, a coma, and then death, and it happens so very fast. 1/4 of all emergency room admissions are related to alcohol. 1/3 of all suicides are related to alcohol. And more than half of all homicides and incidents of domestic violence are related to alcohol. Almost half of traffic fatalities are alcohol related. Alcohol is abused by an estimated 14 million Americans and contributes to the death of 100,000 each year. I'm giving you a lot of numbers. Every one of those 100,000 is a person who dies because somebody, whether themselves or somebody else, is drinking alcohol. 100,000 Americans every year die because of alcohol. We've got people protesting wars because 7, 8, 10,000 people died. And those are terrible. It's awful when somebody dies in a war. But I don't see people protesting alcohol when 10 times as many people are dying every year. Alcohol destroys your body, which is God's temple. God warns us not to provide alcohol for other people. This one and one more and we're done. This is an important warning. God warns us not to provide alcohol for other people. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 15. Woe unto him that giveth his neighbor drink, that puttest thy bottle to him, and makest him drunken also, that thou mayest look on their nakedness. God says, woe to you. And God will judge the person who gives alcohol to his neighbor, to another person. Let's be careful. I don't know that this is a huge issue in our church. I don't know. I haven't seen anybody here give somebody else alcohol to drink. But I don't see everything. And I want you to understand just how important this is, that you don't make it possible for somebody else to drink. You don't enable somebody else to drink. You've seen the signs that are up all over Albuquerque now about how an adult who provides alcohol for minors is going to be the one that pays. You've seen those signs? They're up on the billboards. Y'all need to go driving more and look at the signs, right? One more point, and we're done. This is encouraging. Even a young person, whether you're an adult, but even a young person can avoid the dangers of alcohol by choosing to please God instead of his friends, his surroundings, and his curiosity. You can choose to avoid the dangers of alcohol. Here's another billboard. Maybe you've seen this one. It's on I-40 going east about, I don't know, some place after the crashes usually happen, usually on the other side of the river. And here's what it is. How do I talk to my it's like this. My kid's 14. How do I talk to them about alcohol? This shouldn't be that difficult of a discussion to have. Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Here's an example of a young man. We don't know exactly how old Daniel was, I don't believe. But here's a young man who purposes in his heart that he's going to do right. He's not going to defile himself. Whether you're an old people or a young people, you can purpose in your heart that I'm going to do right, that I'm not going to defile myself by drinking wine. There's all kinds of arguments for drinking wine. And you know who the people usually are? It's usually the Christians that give the arguments, well, Jesus drank wine. Listen, I gave it to you from the Bible tonight. There's some great reasons not to drink alcohol. We're going through this series, just a very practical series, why we don't drink alcohol. Father, I pray that you would use this message to help our people tonight. Maybe this is the first time somebody's heard this. Lord, I pray that you would help them to make a decision tonight that they will not drink alcohol. They will not drink this wine that the Bible describes as being a mocker and raging and deceptive. Lord, I believe families can be saved if people in the family would make a decision that they're just not going to drink alcohol. Lives can be saved. Marriages can be saved. Lord, while we're not trying to be argumentative, I do believe making a stand on this is going to help our families. It's going to help our young people. It's going to help our adults. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to make a decision tonight.